in our Sunday school time that my goal in two teaching opportunities this morning is to look at the future through the eyes of Isaiah, the prophet. Now, this look at the future, as I said earlier, is not individual in scope, meaning that we'll not look at what happens to you or your family in the next day or the next 2 weeks or the next year. But this look at the future will involve individuals, and by the grace of God, we pray that we who are gathered here today will be a part of this kingdom that we talk about this morning. So the theme of our teaching today is not really patriotic. We said this earlier, it's prophetic, but it is patriotic in the sense that we will be talking about a ruler, about a kingdom, and about the nations of this planet. So let's now, again, turn our thoughts to the book of Isaiah, chapters 11 and 12. We'll divide this study into five parts. We mentioned this in our Sunday school time. Five parts to this study. Part one is Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. We looked at that in our Sunday school time. And we looked at the shoot of Jesse and how he rules his kingdom. Part two is Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9, and we'll look at the characteristics of the kingdom of the shoot of Jesse. Part three is Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. We'll look at the nations of the world coming to the shoot of Jesse. Part four is Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 to 16. We'll look at the nation of Israel and how they'll be gathered from all over the world. And then part five is Isaiah chapter 12, and we'll look at the people of God as they give praise to their God. This whole study will give us a glimpse of the future. And it's a short study. Twice we'll look at the Word of God. Twice we're looking at Isaiah chapter 11 and chapter 12. As I said in our Sunday school time, we looked at the first part. In Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, we saw the shoot of Jesse and the way that he rules his kingdom. We found out that the shoot of Jesse, or the son of David, is Jesus. Another way to say it this morning is this, that Jesus is the Messiah. And Isaiah tells us in the first part here of Isaiah chapter 11 that the shoot of Jesse, the Messiah, has everything that he needs to bring God's world back from its rebellion to the knowledge of God and the fear of the Lord. And he will rule his kingdom in righteousness and justice. Now go with me to the second part this morning, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9. And now let's look together at the characteristics of the shoot of Jesse's kingdom. We begin with verse 6. Isaiah writes and he says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox." Pretty amazing, isn't it? "The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." We look at this picture that Isaiah gives us, and it's a picture of something new. It's something different. If I had to summarize this section of this chapter, I think I would summarize it with verse 9. Look at it again. "And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And so things that hurt and things that destroy will not be a part of this kingdom. But we step back and we ask ourselves, how is that? How does this take place? And verse 9 says, "For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Brothers and sisters, this is a global kingdom, a worldwide kingdom. The shoot of Jesse and the Son of David, who is Jesus Christ, will not just rule in the nation of Israel, but he will rule the world. And folks, this is not just a spiritual kingdom, but it's an earthly kingdom. We look at the words of Isaiah here, and we see that there are animals. There are children. And these animals, they will behave according to the knowledge of God. And what that means is that when the earth is filled with the knowledge of God and no longer suppressed, like Paul says in Romans chapter 1 verse 18, that there will even be changes in nature, and the changes will be profound. And the Spirit of the King, the Messiah, which is the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, is so present and so powerful that it fills the earth with the knowledge of God and it changes everything. And brothers and sisters, he's talking about this earth. He's talking about this earth that we live on, that we're a part of right now. So when will this happen? When will this take place? Turn to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65. And look at verse 25. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 25. See, if we stopped right there and we looked at that description in Isaiah chapter 11, I mean, our hearts would be filled with gladness and joy to know what kind of kingdom this is and how God's people will be a part of it. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 25. I want you to notice that the words from Isaiah chapter 11 that we just read are almost repeated exactly. They're very similar. Isaiah 65, verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. And dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Now this is a climax of a paragraph that actually starts in verse 17. So go back to verse 17, Isaiah 65, verse 17. And notice that Isaiah writes, God is speaking and he says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth." And so what we're reading here in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17 tells us, God declares, I create new heavens and a new earth. We're reading here a description of the new heavens and new earth. And yes, get this now, even when we read of the wolf and the lamb grazing together and the child playing in the hole of the cobra. Now stay with me because there's a twist in the timing of this passage. You see, oftentimes when we hear the new heavens and new earth, we think of perfection and we think of no sin and we think of all those things done away. Now hold on to that, because that's true. But we're seeing something here in Isaiah that we need to think about and we need to put together. There's this timing of the passage. Go back to verse 20. Isaiah 65, verse 20. Isaiah writes and he says, "No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." So now think about it. Here, then we have this new earth described. Verse 17, "I will create new heavens and a new earth." We have this new earth described as a place where animals don't kill each other, they don't hurt humans, where children don't die in infancy. Instead, they live a long life full of the knowledge of the Lord, and then they die in a very old age. And even in it, we see mingled with them are sinners who live long lives and then are cursed. And you know, we have to step back from our knowledge of the future and the teaching of the Word of God. We have to ask ourselves, what's happening here? What is Isaiah describing here? What's he talking about? Because it looks like Isaiah is describing the new earth with death and sin in it. And folks, these words are not figures of speech. They are literal because the king is literal and the kingdom is literal and the characteristics of the kingdom is literal. They're literal. So how do we understand this? How do we put this together? We go back to what we learned in Sunday school this morning. You see, this is the mountain range of prophecy. In other words, there are stages in the future events. God will create new heavens and a new earth. But brothers and sisters, He does it in stages. He does it one step at a time. You see, the first coming of Messiah was the first stage. And the second coming of Messiah is the second stage. And Messiah's kingdom on this earth, on this physical earth, Messiah's kingdom on this earth will be another stage. And what do we call it? We call it the millennial kingdom. The millennium. And that's what we have here. That's what Isaiah is describing here in Isaiah chapter 11 and Isaiah chapter 65. And then the final stage will be the coming of the new heavens and the new earth in sinless, deathless perfection. And so what we're seeing here in Isaiah chapter 11 and Isaiah chapter 65 is the description of the shoot of Jesse, the son of David, the Messiah, Jesus ruling a global kingdom where the knowledge of the Lord will fill the earth like the waters cover the sea. That's the characteristics of this earthly global kingdom that Messiah will rule. We call it the millennial kingdom. Now look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, part 3. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. Let's see that the nations of the world will come to the root of Jesse and find rest in his glory. Look at verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles or the nations shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. So now Isaiah sees the Messiah Jesus not only as a shoot from the stump of Jesse. See, we talked about that in Sunday school. The Messiah is a shoot from the stump of Jesse. The nations were pictured as trees that were cut off and stumps in the last part of chapter 10. And then in chapter 11, verse 1, a shoot, a rod, a branch comes from the stump of Jesse. And that branch and that rod and that shoot is the Messiah. It's the son of David. And so Isaiah now sees the Messiah Jesus not only as this shoot from the stump of Jesse, but also the root of Jesse. In other words, he comes from Jesse, but get this, Jesse comes from him. Amen. He comes from Jesse, but Jesse comes from him. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, a shoot from Jesse points to Messiah's humanity. And in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, a root of Jesse points to Messiah's deity. And so in his own prophetic, inspired way, Isaiah is telling us that the Messiah is both God and man. The God-man. But this root and this shoot of Jesse, the Messiah, is not only related to Israel and the people of God, but notice now here in verse 10, Isaiah tells us that there is a relationship with the Gentiles, or a relationship with the nations. And notice what Isaiah says, that he will be a banner to the nations. He will be a signal to the nations. He will be an ensign to the nations. He will be a flag to the nations. And he will rally the nations of this planet to himself. Now think about it. God promised Abraham that through the descendants, through his descendants, all peoples on this earth would be blessed. All peoples. Jesus himself said that many people from outside of Israel will have a part in God's kingdom. The Apostle Paul quotes this verse in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. He quotes it in Romans chapter 15. We touched on that verse in the beginning part of our worship service. Hold your place in Isaiah 11 and turn to Romans 15. I want you to see it. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verses 8 through 12. Now, in our earlier worship, we actually read 8 through 11. Verse 12 is important. Romans chapter 15, verses 8 through 12. And Paul quotes this verse from Isaiah as something that is coming true in his own mission to the Gentiles. So look at verse 8. Paul says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God." Who's the circumcision? Who's he talking about there? The Jewish people, the nation of Israel. "Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers." Let me stop there for a moment. You realize that Jesus Christ confirmed every promise that was made to the fathers. He was the living confirmation of every promise that God made to the fathers, to the Jewish fathers, to the nation of Israel. He was the confirmation of that. And then look at verse 9, because here's where we are. "And," Paul says, "that the Gentiles," or the nations, "might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, 'For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.'" And again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles," or "rejoice, O nations," with his people. And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, all you nations, laud him, all you peoples." And look at verse 12. And again, Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse." There it is. There's the connection. "And he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope." Brothers and sisters, what that means then is that God has planned, or God means, for the nations of this world to be a part of the kingdom of Messiah. And the root of Jesse, who is the same as the shoot of Jesse, who is the son of David, who is the Messiah, the root of Jesse will be a signal, will be a banner, will be a flag to all the nations of the world. And it's like he says, "Come and seek the Messiah, because his rest is glory, and he will welcome you and join him and rest in his glory." You see, the Messiah and the name of Messiah and the kingdom of Messiah is not limited to the Jewish people, but it is open to the Gentiles and open to the nations of the world. And look at part 4. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 to 16. Notice that the nation of Israel will be gathered from all over the world. You see what Isaiah is doing? He's giving us a glimpse into the future. We're seeing our future right here. Verse 11, "It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set His hand against," again, the second time, "to recover the remnant of His people who were left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." Folks, this morning we won't look at each of these verses in detail. I will summarize what Isaiah is saying here with some of these verses. Notice now that the focus here in these verses is the nation of Israel. Look at verse 11. "It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set His hand again the second time to recover the remnant of His people who were left." And so the Lord will gather the people of Israel from all over the world. The second time probably refers back to the Exodus, which he mentions in verse 16. And the Exodus then was the first gathering, and there will be a second gathering. Look at verse 12. And he will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Folks, not only are the nations to come themselves to the signal or the banner of Messiah, but they will rejoice in the return of Israel. They will provide no obstacle, no hindrance at that time. The nations will come to Messiah. Israel will come to Messiah. And brothers and sisters, the rumblings of that are taking place right now. As a matter of fact, for 2,000 years since the Messiah went back, those rumblings have been taking place. Do you realize that the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ is being taken to the nations? And folks, we are doing this. This is part of why we exist. This is why God has placed us here. This is part of who we are and why we exist as Faith Baptist Church. We are taking the gospel of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ, to the nations. And the people of Israel are returning to the land. From all over the world, the Jewish people are returning to Israel. Do you realize that we are living through the fulfillment of what Isaiah is saying here? We're living in that right now. It's taking place right now. And brothers and sisters, nothing will stop it. Look at verses 15 and 16. The Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt. With His mighty wind, He will shake His fist over the river and strike it in the seven streams, and make men cross over dry shod. There will be a highway for the remnant of His people who will be left from Assyria, as it was for Israel in the day that he came up from the land of Egypt. Folks, Egypt could not stop the gathering of God's people. Assyria could not stop the gathering of God's people. And in the future time, even as we stand today and in the future, no earthly power can stop the final purposes of God in His Word for His people, for the nation of Israel. And then look at part 5, Isaiah chapter 12. And notice that the people of God will give praise to God. Here's what Isaiah writes. And in that day, you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, that's short for Yahweh, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. And therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His deeds among the peoples. Make mention that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. And so we step back and we look at these words of Isaiah and we consider what he's telling us about the future of the people of Israel, future for the nations or for the Gentiles. And we ask ourselves, well, what then is the proper response? The people of God will give praise to God. In that day, the people of God will thank Him and praise Him. Why? Because He is salvation. He is strength. He is song. He can be trusted. His deeds will be declared among the nations. His name will be exalted. He will be known in all the earth.
Amen.
And that's the future.
Amen.
Revealed in Isaiah 11. and 12. Now let's bring it all together with three applications. First of all, Jesus Christ, the shoot from the stump of Jesse, is God's saving signal and banner to the nations today. And brothers and sisters, we proclaim the gospel of Messiah Jesus today. And we proclaim it in the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 15. We proclaim it so that the Gentiles may glorify God for His mercy. And we are laboring today to reach the nations. Why? Because Jesus told us to do it. Amen. He said, make disciples of all the nations. And we must give ourselves to lift up the root of Jesse as a banner to the nations. If you ask yourself, well, what is my purpose as a Christian? Isaiah gives it to us. We lift up the banner of Messiah. We lift up Messiah to the nations. That's the first application. Are you doing it? Are you making disciples? Are you lifting up the signal, the flag of Messiah to the nations, those who were close and those who were far? A second application, the shoot of Jesse calls his people to be a people of righteousness. In the first part of chapter 11, when we saw that description of the shoot of Jesse, the Messiah, we found out that righteousness is his characteristic, holiness, righteousness, justice. And brothers and sisters, as he is, we must be. In other words, we are called to be like our King. And not only are we called, but we are being transformed into the image of our King. And just as His delight is in the fear of the Lord, Isaiah 11 verse 3, it must also be our delight, the fear of the Lord. And then number 3, the glory of the shoot of Jesse, Jesus Christ, is our final home. I want you to turn to Revelation. Hold your place in Isaiah chapter 11. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Well, you say, that's the last chapter of the Bible. It sure is. That's the end of the story. That's it. Revelation chapter 22. And look at verse 16. John records the words of Jesus. Jesus is speaking here. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. Look at how Jesus identifies himself in this verse. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. Look at this. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. In other words, what Jesus says there is that He is David's source and David's offspring. He is David's father and David's son. He is total humanity and total deity. He is the beginning and He is the end. And what is His destiny? What is His future? What is His eternity? In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, that verse we looked at, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Literally, his resting place shall be glory. And this glory is the sum of all that he is and all that he does. And brothers and sisters, this morning, how can we say it? He will gather the nations. He will restore Israel. He will remove the curse of sin. He will give a new heaven and a new earth. And this will be His resting place. And those who trust in Him will join Him. And it will be glory. And He will be the center. And we will be with Him. And we will be home. And to everyone who has put their faith in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, This is our destiny. This is our future. Amen. All praise be to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads.